This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 435 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from Shutters Inc. Podcast, and the interruption from the other end of the line is Mr. Glyn Lavender from creativephotoworkshops.com.au. How are you?
Oh, you were talking to them.
I was. Who'd have thought? After all these episodes.
Who the fuck? What was the question, sorry?
How are you?
Oh, good. Oh, no, excellent. Well, I'm okay. No, I'm all right. Yeah. And you? All of the above?
All five of me are great. Thank you.
All of the above.
Actually, it looks like I might have just picked up some more work.
Really?
Yes.
You got a job.
So that's pretty exciting. I've got an early morning trip to Newcastle tomorrow morning.
I don't think our listeners knew you didn't have a job.
Oh, well, yeah, my job finished last Friday, so...
So that's the day after we recorded.
That's correct, yes.
And it's all in limbo land. We're on the knife's edge. They didn't know.
That's right. So this week, I've been unemployed.
If you go back and listen to last week's episode, there were some fairly some hints, some little jibes I put in there regarding his status soon to be ex-employed. Yeah,
that's it.
But you might have some work.
Yes. So basically what happened was that, you know, I got brought into the ABC in Sydney in August of last year, ostensibly until the end of the year, backfilling for a guy who'd been seconded off to another role. What happened was that the role he was undertaking actually carried through until February, hence why I got extended through till February. And then he decided he'd take a couple of months of long service leave, and hence why I got extended through to the end of April. And, of course, then the end of April came round and he actually came back
back.
Yeah. Rude person.
Some people just have no consideration.
Exactly. So it meant that I finished up last Friday.
Did they have a party?
No, they did not have a party.
Drinks?
They did. There was one offer of going out.
Was there a bag of chips?
No. So, anyway.
Did anyone even say hello to you that day?
Yes, they did. And they were
did
all.
Did they say goodbye, which is probably more important?
They did say goodbye, and they were very disappointed to see me go. And there is, you know, talk of, you know, we will have you back as soon as there is something for you, you know. So, but it turns out that the ABC up in Newcastle may be in need of somebody for 12 weeks. So I'm heading up there for a job interview. Well, not really a job interview, it's just really a bit of a chat. I'm pretty confident that they'll be happy to take me on board. So, yeah.
How far away is Newcastle from where you live?
About the same distance as what I was travelling to Sydney. So it's probably an hour and a quarter, hour and an hour 20 on the train.
Oh, a train. Okay, yep.
If I choose to take the train, yeah. I could take the bike, but it'd seriously take me about the same amount of time. So you might as well take the train and not have to worry about the parking. So, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so how's
your week? Start talking about me.
That's right.
I've been flat out, Bruce.
Right.
And by flat out, I don't just mean laying down napping.
Right.
I actually mean I've been busy.
Oh.
I've got some naps, and of course, I mean, it wouldn't be a week without a few naps. But no. The day after our podcast, I did a natural light portrait workshop, which is fun.
Nice.
Took one image I really liked, so that was good.
Cool.
The Saturday... went and bought a gold detector.
Oh, excellent.
Which is different from a metal detector.
Oh.
Well, because it works on different frequencies.
Right.
So I'm learning stuff. So it works in the frequency range that gold is more responsive to.
Fair enough.
So when early Saturday morning, I had to drive an hour and a half to the place where it was a second-hand one for sale, the one I've been looking at getting.
Right.
Available second-hand.
Yeah.
$400 cheaper than new.
Wow.
And it was like, well, park, you know. And seems new is only $1,000. It was, you know, a significant saving.
It's, yeah,
it's nearly 40%. The $400 off $1,000. And so we were planning. Me and the girls go out gold panning that day.
Right.
So we went down. We packed all our gold pans and our gum boots and everything else and all the stuff we needed. And popped down, picked up the gold detector. And the guy was, well, I would say he was nice. He was different.
Yeah.
He was a very slow, quiet talker. And it didn't matter what you said to him, his response was always the same volume and pace.
Right.
And I'm like, girls, go away. I can hardly hear this man talk. They seem to be having a lot of fun, don't they? But by the time the conversation was halfway over, I've got my ear almost attached to his mouth. And he's, of course, he's gone, your ear's actually rather close to my mouth now. So It's very, very quiet chocolate, but lovely. He threw in a gold weighing scale, which I thought was quite ambitious.
Right.
He threw in a pickaxe to dig into the ground to get said ambitious nuggets.
Yeah.
And he gave me a gold nugget.
What?
He gave me a gold nugget.
Why?
Well, he says here's a sample nugget, so you can put it on the ground and you can make sure that way you're kind of confident that your detector's work.
Right.
Because the detector's silent, doesn't make noise. If you've got it set up right, you're going over the ground, it only makes noise
when
there's a target.
Yep.
Yeah. So you kind of want to be not walking around for 3 hours, let's say, and realise the cable's unplugged. Or
you didn't put the batteries in.
Yeah, so having this little test nugget, you pop that in the ground first, do a little sweep over, beep, beep, aha, it's working, off you go.
Because you have a bit of a reputation for trying to run gear without batteries, Mr. Lavender.
And cables not plugged in, and that's pretty much a possible scenario. He was obviously thinking ahead.
Yeah.
So then we went from there. We popped up to a known gold sluicing, a gold fossicking river, where we knew there was a chance of doing some gold panning with the kids.
Yep.
And found there's basically no water anywhere in Victoria at the moment. Pretty much all the rivers. But we found a tiny puddle.
Right.
And I assessed the river for an ideal location where gold would deposit based on if there was water flowing, where there would be reduced flow, because when there's reduced flow, the heavier stuff falls out.
Yeah.
We did our first pan, and we found about 30 pieces of gold.
Nice.
Microscopic.
Yeah.
Pieces of gold. And then it went downhill from there. Each pan got less and less.
Right.
But the very first pan, the kids were pretty darn excited. They found gold. And then after we did that, then we went out and took the metal detector for a bit of a spin on known gold fields.
Yeah.
And we found several nice pieces.
Right.
Of lead.
Of lead.
Lead and other sort of bits of metal.
Right.
And I've been out two more times this week since then. So I've been out three times now. The first one with the kids doesn't count because they drive me crazy.
Right.
All they want to do is get the pickaxe and hit stuff. I mean, who would have thunk? Damn kids. So I've been at two more times, and I found several nice pieces of rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah, today I've had a dog lead.
Excellent.
Full lead, full dog lead. I found a little side badge from a Ford Gear car.
Fantastic.
From the 1970s or something. Yeah. You know?
It's probably worth more than the gold flecks you've found.
Well, yeah, pretty much. So I haven't found any gold yet.
Right.
But on the forums I'm on, because I'm as you do, you join up all the if I'm finding this stuff on the right settings, everything's dialed in correctly.
Yeah.
Apparently what I've got to do next, and this is the hard part, is I've got to walk over some gold.
Right.
Because if you move your detector over ground where there's no gold, you don't find any.
Right.
And if you move your detector over ground where there is gold, and it's not too deep, and you've got your tongue outside your mouth just so, and you're humming the right tune, you've got a chance of
finding it.
So a lot of the gold that's being found is half the size of your little fingernail.
Yeah.
And really small stuff. It's worth 40, 50 bucks a piece, whatever.
Right.
So you can imagine if you're looking in a field and you're going to find something that small in a field, it's like trying to find a, I don't know, like a gold nugget in a field. No, it's like a nickel in a haystack. It's you've got to be in exactly the right spot at exactly the right angles and all that sort of stuff. Yep. So it's a learning curve, but I'm enjoying it.
And how deep does the gold detector penetrate into the soil?
Oh, it's going about 8 or 9 inches.
Oh, okay. Well, that's reasonable.
It's reasonable. And where a lot of the gold where I'm working, as the very loose terminology to working, is all the old gold diggings. Okay, so you can imagine they've dug these deep holes and they've dumped all the dirt up on the banks.
Yeah.
So whilst you're detecting, you see this is called mullock heaps. Yep. So you detect those because they don't often find lots of gold still in those things.
Yeah.
But they've been digging, obviously, maybe down 10 feet in the ground.
Yeah.
So you're detecting areas that were once significantly deeper.
Yeah.
But this is amazing. I mean, just history alone, to be walking along this amazing hillside landscapes of burrowed grounds and furrows, and the amount of work these people did, astounding. So go to all the old goldfield area. I mean, this is a huge, it's a monstrously huge area. I've been working one basic little hill, but it's there was 5,000 gold miners working on this one hill back in the day.
Jeez.
You can imagine, this is one small area of it, of hundreds of kilometres of gold area in Victoria. Yeah. And it's just fascinating. So, I mean, it's kind of cool to be amongst all that history.
Yeah.
Nice. And I'm back now, I'm a Pat Malone, you know, so it's kind of nice. You know, it's nice and quiet. Except when they beep, 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 which is not a bad. I thought I found a piece of gold today because my detector will take a hazard a guess whether it's lead or gold.
All right.
Because they have similar components, so that you can't, but you can discriminate between the two. And I had this one, the last target today, it was gold, big time gold. The little thing was full gold. So, yeah. Hell, here we go. Digging down. And see, it was screaming at me, Bruce. It was screaming, gold! But more like a beep. But, yeah, gold! Especially what it was, that's if you could read the language.
Don't you wish you could have a custom ringtone like your phone? You could get a gold for Australia.
Some of here, you idiot! A piece of aluminium foil.
Excellent.
But so young, and I use the term very loosely because it's all relative, young Adam Davidson and I.
Yeah.
He of the many, never listens, but many
contributed stories.
Contributed things. He's got a metal detector at home too.
Right.
We're gonna go meet up on the fields one day and have some fun.
Excellent.
In the next couple of weeks, which will be fun. So we could report. We could do a live. If you're still unemployed, we could do a live feed.
Right.
To the podcast. My youngest. Cause what I'm thinking of doing is starting a video vlog of me not finding gold.
Right.
Yeah, and so my eldest daughter today made my icon, made my little man up for me, a little what they call those things, the things that look like, it's supposed to look like you, a little animated little happen like you've got like on your little head that's on your YouTube, on your Skype thing. Yeah, you got a little picture avatar. That's the thing I'm looking for. So she's made a little avatar of me with a pickaxe digging in some rocks,
right?
Which is pretty clever. She did a pretty good job. Yeah. And I'm calling it Clueless Prospecting,
right?
So I think that's gonna be the channel. How am I gonna film the non-finding of anything?
Well, it should be a fairly unique channel.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. You know, the gold you have when you don't have any gold,
kind
of thing. And I think, because I said I've watched a lot of these videos, and there's no one going out there from scratch, from the beginning, going, I've got not a freaking clue what I'm doing.
Yep.
All you've got out there is the videos of people finding stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But that's not reality, because, these people are finding up to 27, 30 nuggets a day, you know, and I've been there 3 days. I should have 90 nuggets by now.
You know, all jokes aside, that could be really compelling content for anyone else following in your footsteps.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because as you go along, you will work out the things that are working and the things that aren't working. And if you document those things on video, then, it gives those that are following a chance to not have to reinvent the wheel.
How will I figure them out?
I don't know, mate.
I was terribly out of clue. You know, it's called clueless detecting. I'm just going to go there and repeat the same mistakes over and over.
Right.
And, don't do what I do, Look at the sad man. He's found the same dog collar, dog lead he found last week. He's in exactly the same spot, making the same mistakes.
any consolation, Glenn, your first 10,000 days of prospecting will be your worst.
So that's been my week. I've been pretty flat out. I was a bit disappointed. So I drove an hour and a half up to the gold fields yesterday, actually, and it poured with rain as soon as I got there. So I drove down.
Oh no!
Of course, where I live, I left in perfect sunshine, pouring rain. When I got home, perfect sunshine. Nothing had changed, and it hadn't rained an iota where I live. So there's $25 petrol down the toilet.
But I wonder, would going out prospecting whilst it's raining potentially yield up better results? Because
I'm not getting wet. I don't own a raincoat.
You don't need a raincoat. Wet. Unless it was really cold.
Well, it was 8 degrees and blowing a gale.
Okay, so it was chilly.
Apparently, this is what I found. It's actually, if you can be asked doing it and don't mind the risks, detecting at night is better.
Why?
Something to do with like the solar influence and electromagnetic impulses from the, I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
But apparently going out, but here's the problem, yeah. As this one guy, I was watching this one video from one guy yesterday, he almost fell down a 100-meter hole.
Oi, oi, oi.
This little hole, he's longer filming, talking to camera, and it's like, whoa, that's this huge hole in front of me.
Jeez.
Well, by huge, it was only 2 foot by 3 foot.
Yeah.
But and fairly concealed, that's why he almost fell in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff. So I've had a lot of fun doing that. And then tomorrow I'm off up to Rockhampton up in Queensland.
Yep.
I'm doing some stuff with the Rockhampton Photographic Society. I'm spending a day with them on Saturday.
Nice.
I think I've got 10 groups or something during the course of the day. Different. Yeah, like everyone's got like an hour and a half session. Maybe it's not 10, maybe it's 8. Something like that. And doing a talk on travel portraits on Friday nights. So it's going to be fun.
Sweet.
Looking forward to that. And that's about it. That's my entire week, including most of next week, quite frankly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So should we talk some other crap?
Why not?
Yeah. What crap have you got?
Well,
no, you're wrong.
Adam sent a separate link to the one that I found, but basically we both.
And I sent one too.
Oh, and you sent one as well.
Adam, you don't count.
Right. Which is that Adobe, as I predicted about 4 years ago, has now doubled the price of the photographer-centric bundle for Creative Cloud. So that is the Creative Cloud subscription, which gives you Photoshop and Lightroom. And was there something else included? Oh, Bridge.
A terabyte of storage.
Yeah, and that. Yeah, like you couldn't get that anywhere else. But anyway, so it's been $10 a year for, I mean, $10 a month for years, and they've now just doubled it in one hit overnight kind of thing. Well, not quite.
Except they haven't.
Yeah, not quite, but.
No, except they haven't.
Oh, okay. Do tell.
It's still $9.99 a month.
Oh.
They were running some tests.
Oh.
Yeah, and only certain users would have seen those things, and those certain. So it was all just, yeah. If you happen to be one of those people who happen to see that thing, you just email Adobe and they'd set you up for $9.99 a month or $120 for a year.
Right.
So it is and it's not.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So what was the point then?
Well, the testing, they said that from time to time they're trialing all sorts of stuff on their website.
So as in just wanting to see what the market reaction would be?
Yeah, who knows, yeah. But something to a very selected number of people. So it's not really like everyone's seeing it. It's happening to everybody. So
right.
Hmm.
Interesting.
So, I mean, they might still do it up, but... Yeah.
I still maintain the day will come when they'll just yank that whole package.
And then your YouTube for Darktable is going to go nutso.
That's right. Absolutely.
You'll be the Darktable man.
That's it. the next story that I came across was a story about National Geographic having published.
Yeah, I sent you that one too.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
You've been on the same petapixel site that I've been on.
It's anyone I know.
so this was multi-image pano by a photographer by the name of Beth Moon, showing baobab. Is that how you pronounce those trees? Baobab trees?
Boab
trees? Okay. Supposedly under the Ark of the Milky Way.
Covenant? Oh, sorry.
Sorry?
No, I said Covenant.
Under
the Ark of the Covenant. I thought
right.
Obviously not.
And it appears to the keen-eyed amongst the interweb elite that the image has been heavily photoshopped because there's lots of copying and pasting of certain parts
cloning
of
and,
the,
and reversing and flipping and that which brings a funny thing up because just yesterday in one of the photo groups I'm in that my mate Seng runs in Perth,
right?
One of his customers is over in South America at the moment,
right?
And he's got this night Milky Way photograph of the mountains and the lake in the foreground and the Milky Way in the background, and he says it's a composite, says it's a composite and focus stacked, which is great. But I had to ask him, why does Orion have two belts in your photograph? Because composite doesn't explain that. And he goes, oh, I don't know. I had to even look up what Orion's belt was.
Ah.
But he didn't admit to cloning. But yeah, two perfectly same angle set of three bright stars right. with exactly the same stars around it. In the image and 6 inches apart from each other. It's like, surely you can see if you're doing the clone, you can see that's so damn obvious.
Yeah,
there's two, but these things draw you because it's like these two parallel lines in the sky, you know?
Yeah.
So you do a better job of cloning, is all I say. If you're going to do it. Yeah. Nothing wrong with cheating. Just don't get caught.
That's exactly right. Now, Adam sent a story. I've still got another thing to cover, but I want to cover Adam's story first because this appeared on DIYphotography.net a week or so ago. I think Adam posted this the very night we were recording the last episode, and so we just missed it for last episode. But it was basically the news that Canon have now released an entry-level DSLR.
Oh, I've got that link as
which,
well.
Which, oh, just really? Can you come up with something original, mate?
Can Adam? Hey, my freaking podcast, Adam.
So anyway.
Can I mention one of my pieces here first?
Can I mention my off you go.
Here's the thing, Bruce. Canon have released some of the entry-level cameras with a different hot shoe, so it's not compatible with third-party flash guns.
Flashes, yes. That's just horrific.
And that all by myself.
But that is fantastic, mate. Well done, you.
Hello.
So the story that
I'm not very smart, but I've used
that I saw on Petapixel tonight is that Godox is fighting back against this and has released a firmware upgrade that essentially remaps the signals away from that central pin, which is missing on this new Canon hot shoe, so that you can still use a Godox flash with this new Canon DSLR, despite the fact that it's missing this one pin in the middle of the hot shoe, which I thought was very clever of Godox.
Very clever.
So, we'll put all those links in the show notes for anyone that's interested.
Wow. Bruce, here's the thing. Yeah. I'm just having a look at this article for the first time.
Yep. Which one? The one about Godox?
The one I found about the Canon.
Which Steve Peters also sent in too.
Can I share something with you? This is quite astounding to me.
Please do.
On the hot shoe on the Canon.
Yeah.
The main central pin near the big one.
Yeah.
Not there anymore.
You're kidding.
No, I'm serious. I'm looking at the picture right now. I am. It's right there. It's a black hole.
News as it happens, people. What else have you got on your list?
Oh, that was it. You've had them all.
Right.
You've stolen everything.
Everything we have, we had in duplicate.
Hasn't been much of a week, has it? In the week of photography. No, I did. I've got one extra thing, Bruce.
What have you got?
I've got one.
A microfogger. What's a microfogger?
It's a little handheld fog machine.
Is this for doing fog photos with your Lego men?
No, but it's like, imagine if you've got a model, right?
Yeah.
And she's holding her hand just and dramatic, and smoke's coming out of her hands or up from inside her dress. Yeah, you can do something really creative with smoke or fog because you can put it in spots that, a full size machine ain't going to fit.
Right.
But it's also going to put out way more smoke or fog than you might want.
Right. Yep.
So you could do some really creative, just little nimble. So imagine like reaching out and with a hand in the air and there's smoke coming out of the hand, or there's all sorts of creative stuff you can come up with it. It's a wee pricey. It's about £85.
Yeah.
So it's a couple of hundred dollars. So hopefully the Chinese will knock this off real quickly and we get to 20. But I thought it was really cool. I thought that it's got some great creative applications.
Yeah.
Just make sure I'm reading some of the critiques, the reviews to see. Loved everything about this purchase from beginning to the end of the shipping. Just don't like the product. I don't know. The microfogger is just perfect. It performed even better than we expected. We especially love how we can control how much smoke the fogger admits.
Ah.
I think she means emits.
Emits, yeah.
But let's see. I admit to nothing. It's, where's it going to? Which makes it amazing when you need to up your cosplay game. There you go. Cosplay people into it. The Micro is the best option for portable fog machines, and the 1-3 button controls, I'm sure what that means, makes operating the unit super easy. I think it's a great idea. That could be used at wedding photo shoot outdoors, and it worked perfect. Such a small unit, it can achieve great images.
Yeah, nice.
Uh, Yeah, I reckon I would love to try one.
Yeah.
Somebody's got a school volcano project. that's a great idea.
I have one criticism of the actual page upon which this is advertised.
Go on.
And that is that they have this main photo, which is a large square image, and then below that there are three small thumbnail images of, you know, other angles of the device. And I'm sitting there looking at it and thinking, none of these images gives me any idea of the size of the device.
Well, that's because there's more than three images.
You actually have to get to the fourth image before you see it in somebody's hand to give you an idea of the size of the thing. They should have just put at least one of those images of it in somebody's hand within those first three images so that it was apparent for a person viewing the page at the first glance as to how big the thing was.
I agree.
But other than that, that and the price.
I certainly object to the price.
Yeah, that seems pretty expensive for what it is.
Yeah.
And as you say, the Chinese will knock it off in no time.
Well, if it's popular, it'd be great. So, I thought there's a lot of creative opportunities for that. So
nice.
I was just going to, just before we sign off, type into Google micro fog machine and see how many other companies have them. This could be, there's a micro smoke machine with push button control.
Mate, I can get one from DJ City here in Australia for $39.
Really? Yep. Send me the link to that one.
The AVE, what's it called? Vaporizer Smoke Machine Wireless Remote.
AVE, maybe it's just a remote.
I will flick you the link on Skype right now. There you go. There is the link. $39 and it's in stock. So, I don't know what that is. That doesn't look like a fog machine. Maybe it is just the remote. Ah, maybe it is just the remote. Yeah.
You're a knob. You're such a... We love you, Bruce. Yeah. We have to laugh. It hurts too much otherwise.
That's right.
So there's
the vaporizer fog machine, which is a 500-watt fog machine, which is full size, yeah. And it's $35. So, yeah. That's no good to us.
No.
We wanted micro.
I'm going to do some research.
You do.
And by that, I'll look at Google for a minute and then get something else.
And you'll have forgotten it by next week.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Well, that was short and sweetless.
Yes, and half of it was gold prospecting.
There you go. Aren't we changing over?
Apparently we are.
Photo gold photo. But see, here's the thing, though. You would have thought, yeah, I'm driving, because I sent a photo to you the other day when I was driving up. I was driving behind the gold bus.
Oh, that's right.
The bus. You did. So I thought, hang on. And then, but there you go. Tonight, driving home.
Yeah.
Gold Dust by Fleetwood Mac was on, and then another song about gold came up. Metal Detector. That song called Metal Detector.
Really? There's a song called Metal Detector?
Yeah, by my favourite band, They Might Be Giants.
Oh, okay.
Yes. It's like, I'm being teased. Yeah. So on a final note, yep. If anyone's looking for, say, late 70s, early 80s Ford Gear side badge, silver, $300 and it's yours, drop me a line.
Nice. You have a good week.
I will. I'll hopefully do something decent in Rockhampton. So I've got something to talk about next week.
Nice. Yeah. Mate, talk to you soon.
Do they have gold up there?
I don't know.
All right.
See ya.
Hi, everyone.
Shutters Inc. Another audiotu.com quality podcast. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.